Let's talk about willpower. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. The Input English channel is all about comprehensible input, the best way for you to improve your English listening comprehension and your speaking ability. Today, I'd like to talk about willpower. I've talked about willpower in the past, and basically what I've told you is don't count on it. Don't use willpower for important things because willpower is not very durable. Instead, I've recommended that you use habits because habits are very trustworthy. You can depend on habits better than you can depend on willpower. Let's start this discussion out by setting the stage. In a previous video, I quoted a fellow named Charles Tremendous Jones. He was a motivational speaker and an author, and what he said that caught my interest is that 5 years from now, you will be basically the same person you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. When I heard that quote from Charles Tremendous Jones, I paid attention. It made sense because books and people are very influential on our lives. Let's start out with a story about Bruce. So Bruce was a fellow I knew at UC Davis. I was on the faculty, and Bruce was a smart, well-educated young man who came to our department for a one-year educational experience. He already had an extraordinary education, but according to him, he discerned that he had a weakness. He had a deficiency that he perceived, so he arranged this extra year at UC Davis to correct what he perceived as a deficiency. When he explained this to me, I was shocked. It seemed like such a bold move, and I was quite impressed that he went to the effort to fix this problem that he became aware of. Ever since meeting Bruce, I've tried to pay attention to my own situation and try to determine if there are things that need to be corrected, specifically things I don't understand, things I need to learn more about. So that experience of knowing Bruce and changing my behavior went to work on the problem of willpower, because even though I was recommending that we not trust willpower, I realized that I didn't have a robust understanding of what willpower was. So I needed to fix that. What I did was investigate. I went online and looked up that subject, and I came upon a book. It looked like a very thorough treatment of the subject, and so I read it, cover to cover. So let's start by defining what is willpower. Willpower is self-control. Willpower is our ability to conform our conduct to standards, and those standards could be our own standards, or they could be standards given to us by other people or perhaps other authorities like a government. The book I read was entitled Willpower. It was written by Roy Baumeister and John Tierney. It was published in 2012, and it was a New York Times bestseller at that time. The book is 304 pages long, so it took me a little over a week to read. In this book, the authors point out that there are two human characteristics that very much correlate with success in life. They identified intelligence and willpower. And then they went on to explain that we don't have a way of really improving our intelligence. We have our intelligence. It is what it is. But willpower can be modulated. Willpower gives us some latitude for improvement. at least potential improvement. They went on to explain that the key to happiness in life appeared to best correlate with people who stop screwing up. So that is a casual expression indicating that we should stop running afoul of standards, our own or those of others. Avoid blunders and mistakes. Avoid self-defeating behavior. As we look at willpower, it becomes very clear that it is a resource for us, but it is not durable. There are situations when our willpower will weaken, and then there are other times when our willpower is likely to be stronger. The authors went into depth on these topics. They pointed out that willpower is a global characteristic, and so if we have strong willpower in one aspect of our life, we really have strong willpower in other aspects of our life. Willpower doesn't compartmentalize into certain aspects of our life. It is a global characteristic. It is also highly related to other things that you might not think of as being related to self-control and willpower. Now, we can use our willpower to do things that we should do that we might not want to do. And we can also use willpower to avoid doing things that we shouldn't do but might be appealing. So willpower can go both ways, avoidance or pursuit. From a psychological point of view, willpower and self-control are closely related to decision-making, logical analysis, and paying attention in the face of distractions. So if one finds themselves at a point where they have low willpower, they will be deficient in those areas. Experimental work has shown that low willpower does not interfere with our memory or our ability to learn new things. Experimental studies have shown a bunch of things that contribute to decreased willpower. If one has to make a lot of decisions or exert a lot of self-control, those mental activities will decrease our willpower. If we have to deal with a lot of frustration, that will decrease our willpower. There are physiologic things that will interfere with our willpower. Hunger, low blood sugar, physical fatigue, mental fatigue, all decrease our self-control. They all decrease our willpower. To that list, you can add sleep loss, alcohol, drugs, over-the-counter medications, and prescription drugs. All of those things can dramatically decrease our willpower. Having read all of this, I started looking at willpower as a fairly fragile commodity. What I learned by reading all of this jived very well with what I had been told about willpower, and that is, don't trust it. This is why in previous videos I have recommended that you trust habits rather than willpower. If our willpower is this fragile, if it is so likely to degrade as we go through the day, the question is, what can we do to regenerate our willpower? What is available to us to bring our willpower back up to where it is more useful to us? Two things were consistently recommended. One, eating food, nutrients. Number two, sleep. Now, this works well with human experience. If somebody is negotiating or thinking about something, trying to work out a complex plan, they might say, I'm going to sleep on it, or we should sleep on it. What that tells me is that people intuitively know that their reasoning power and their willpower are going to be stronger when they're fresh. People apparently understand instinctively that they can regenerate their willpower by sleeping. So if we have a period of degradation of our willpower, how can we tell? How can we detect low willpower? The trouble with that is the symptoms are fairly subtle and may go unnoticed. If you find yourself making a lot of decisions, making a lot of choices, and then you notice that you're feeling short-tempered or that you're very sensitive to stimuli, either good or bad, the chocolate chip cookies seem particularly inviting, or the sound of the car horn is particularly irritating, that heightened sensitivity to stimulus might suggest decreased willpower. So if willpower is not durable and a degradation of our willpower is hard to detect, what could we do to strengthen our willpower? Recommendations on this were very interesting. The first recommendation is to use your willpower, what you have, to create habits and routines. Use your willpower to create neatness around you. Put things in order, because orderliness fosters good willpower. If we can use our willpower to create habits and routines, then we are creating a tool that is going to be much more durable for us, the language learner. And this is literally what I do. I don't get up each morning and force myself to get input in Spanish. Not at all. I get up each morning and habitually get input in Spanish. If I were to skip the input, I would miss it, and I would feel compelled to make a change and get that input, because I have a very strong habit of getting an hour of input each morning. One of the things that the author said that was very interesting and very pertinent to language learners is it takes willpower to choose between something that provides a short-term benefit versus something that provides a long-term benefit. That is certainly relevant to what we are doing, because we as language learners are putting together a program for learning English in this case, but this program is going to go over a long time, probably over a period of years. And so it does take willpower to pursue something that gives you a long-term benefit. Short-term benefits don't require much willpower. One of the things I had not thought about in the context of willpower is that willpower is a human trait, it's a human characteristic that evolved with us. We need willpower in order to get along with each other so that we can live in clans or societies. It takes a lot of willpower to get along with other people. So even though I don't trust willpower to be the basis of my language learning program, I would prefer to use habits for that, I came to understand that willpower is very important to us as a society, because willpower allows us to get along with each other. As the authors summed up their conclusions about willpower, they closed on a very optimistic note. They pointed out, based on their studies and their observations, that willpower, that is inner discipline, leads to outer kindness. In terms of recommending this book for comprehensible input, I need to advise caution. This is fairly advanced, abstract, native content, and so it could be difficult to follow. If you have a great deal of interest or a strong background in psychology, you might find this book inviting. It is available as an audiobook, and I sampled that audiobook. It is clearly read by a good speaker. As my level in Spanish improved, I found that I could consume native content if the content was in a field that I was knowledgeable and interested. So, for instance, native content in Spanish about photography, technology, drones, aviation, I was all over that because I was likely to be very interested, and I also had a lot of the technical vocabulary that would be easy to pick out among these words. There is enough similarity in the terminology of these disciplines in English versus Spanish that it actually gave me a lot of clues as to what the speaker was talking about or the author was talking about. So I took what I learned from Bruce. I determined I had a deficiency in my knowledge, so I endeavored to correct that. I read a book cover to cover to try to learn a lot, and I really enjoyed this book. It connected a lot of the dots. Now, connecting a lot of dots is an expression you will hear. Back in the 20th century, it was common for children to be given a book, like a comic book, but inside this book, each page had a lot of dots on it. And the dots did not appear to be in any particular pattern. They were just scattered on the page, and each dot had a number next to it. And so the child receiving this connect the dots puzzle would take a pencil and start at number one and then draw a line to number two and then three and then four and five. And after connecting a lot of these dots with lines, with a pencil, they could see that the image was that of a rabbit or a duck or a boat. So with these puzzles, if you connect the dots, you could figure out what the pattern was. This book connected the dots. That is, after reading the book, I could understand a lot more about the facts. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.